Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Today, talk about Avelos, but it should be L'Zecher Nishmas, my grandfather, Mordechai Ber of Yitzchak, whose Yahrzeit actually is this morning. Shamash Avin Aliyah. So I picked, being the fact it's Parshas Chayisara, and actually the Parsha deals with two major deaths, the death of Sarah, but later at the end of the Parsha, the death of Avram Avinu. In between has a Simcha, the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka, Jewish life. But I figured it's a good week to talk about some of the halachas regarding mourning. It's entitled The Year of Mourning, Practical Questions with Social Gatherings. And just as introduction, a few points. The Ramban in this week's Parsha, in speaking about the whole episode with Avram Avinu and Sarah passing away, we know from our Chazal, it was a sudden, shocking situation. Medrash says she found out about what happened with Akedat Yitzchak, and she had a heart attack. She died. And the parsha then continues with Avram Avinu having to negotiate at this moment in time with Ephron, quite a sleazy businessman, and working out the arrangements for Maris HaMachpelah, which Baruch Hashem, we still have, Ad HaYom HaZeh. And the Ramban comments that this whole story with the death of Sarah was a nisayon, was a challenge, was a test for Avram Avinu. And I saw some of the Mefarshim struggle with, this is Avram Avinu who already passed many tests. We for sure know that one of the previous tests was the Akedah, sacrificing Yitzchak based on the word of Hashem. We talk about the Akedah all throughout davening Yom HaNarayim. Obviously a major, major schus, a major challenge. Why does this story, this episode with the death of Sarah, why is that rank up there as such a big test? And perhaps part of the answer lies within the fact that you could be Avram Avinu and you could be so strong and prepared for every challenge in life, but these particular situations, the sudden death of a spouse, of a loved one, the challenges that sometimes come with it, is a very trying time on a person. And for a person to emerge that he did everything okay, right, okay, that's a big deal. That's an nisayon, which is a test, even for someone as great as Avram Avinu. You know, just this week, someone sent me a memo, just to contrast. It was the anniversary of one of those moments in American history, the shooting of JFK. Right? Where were you when JFK was shot? I know I wasn't. But
1 year
old. JFK being shot was a major, major, you know, turning point in American history, American society. Of course, the conspiracy theories linger, Ad HaYom HaZeh. But one of the events I remember hearing from my Rebbe, from Penach Libot Zetzal, at the funeral, it's famous that his wife, the First Lady, this is Jackie Kennedy, didn't cry. She was stoic. And I remember Rebbe Penach commenting that that's not the Torah Hashkafa. It's not a sign of strength if you don't cry after your husband was suddenly shot in a motorcade in Dallas. That's not the way we mourn. What does this week's parsha say? Avram Avinu came, lispod l'sarav of livkosa. He came to give a hesped, to give a eulogy, and to cry. The proper reaction in mourning is crying. The Torah gives us very clear, prescribed halachos. Those halachos are there to be observed, to be followed with feeling, emotion. The Torah tells us what to do from the moments after Yetzias Neshama, when somebody dies. Torah gives us halachas through the funeral, halachas the week of Shiva, the month of Shloshim, and in a situation where someone's mourning a parent, an entire 12 months. Each step along the way, the Torah prescribes halachos, what's right to do, what's wrong to do. And we should feel fortunate that we, you know, there's so many aspects of our lives, every aspect of our life is governed by halacha, governed by the Torah. But in these areas in particular, where would we be without it? You just see the contrast. Jackie Kennedy was not guided by the Torah. So her, but that becomes part of American society. Yeah, she was a strong woman. She didn't cry. The Torah has a different perspective. You're supposed to cry. You're supposed to mourn. How much to mourn? Also, a balance. The Torah gives it to us. So in today's share, there are really so many aspects of Avelos as we delineated all steps along the way from an Onain to the Levaya, to Shiva, Shloshim. What I would particularly like to talk about today is the year of mourning. That practically comes, it's the longest stretch beyond Shloshim, the concept that for a parent, one mourns for 12 months, and obviously that affects so much of their lives. And many halachas, talk about haircuts, buying clothing, seats in shul, there, we gave a share years before what to do with Zechan Nishmas, Kaddish, Mishnayis, all that. But today's shir, I want to focus in on social gatherings, because that is really a major aspect of where Avelos hits, of it affects people's lives. You know, in Baruch Hashem, a growing Jewish society, there are a lot of simchas we'll talk about, from weddings, bris, pidyon haben, siyums, so many events we celebrate. We have with also, you know, different sudos, parties, get-togethers, kiddushes, and I'd like today to go through many practical halachas about them. In fact, when the impetus is to give this share, a few years ago, they started coming out with svarim, additional svarim about from Moshe Feinstein, based on notes of people around him. They're ready up to the third volume. This is a sefer from Soros Moshe, put it out by the family. And here, there's extensive notes where Moshe was asked so many shilos about Hilchos Avelos. Rabbanim do get a lot of these shilos, and Baruch Hashem, they compiled a lot of the questions that were given to Ramosha. I'd like to go through a lot of them today. So let's begin with the Shulchan Aruch. This is Yeridea, Simon Shin Sadi Aleph. Halacha, the Mechaber writes, Akol Amesim Nichnas LeBeis HaMishta. For all or after all deaths, a person could afterwards go to the Beis HaMishnah, go to a gathering, a party, La'archa Shloshim Yom, after the conclusion of 30 days, Chas V'Shalom, a person saying Shiva for a spouse, for a sibling. So after 30 days, then one could resume his social calendar. However, other Val'imo, La'archa Yud Beis Chodesh. For parents, the halacha is it takes 12 months. And Machaber adds, if it will be a leap year, then it doesn't go by the Jewish calendar of 13 months, it goes by 12 months. Mihu, Simchos Mireyos. This is an important concept, which probably still exists in many communities, different scenarios, but you have people that, you know, every few weeks they switch off. You know, I'll invite my neighbors to me. A few weeks later, my neighbors will invite me over. Right? Social invitations. So that's Simchas Mireyos. So the concept is, hey, if my neighbor invited me, then sort of there's an obligation on us to have them back. So Shulchan Aruch writes, Mio Simchus Mereyosh will chayv lefra osomiyad. In those cases, the payback was expected the following week, right away. Motulas osomiyad achas shiva. So, in a case of where it's expected, you already was a, you know, Chas V'Shalom, you could have these cases, a person gets up from shiva, let's say, on Wednesday, and was already expected that Shabbos, someone to come to them, so they need to go to somebody. One would be allowed to return a social invite and go to a house, a neighbor's house, right after Shiva. But if he's not really obligated to go back, obligated to return the invitation, so then it's best to wait, it's usher, until after the 30-day mourning period is over. But the contrast is, Val Avi Val Imo, but on one's parents, Aval Bisha Chayv Lefro, even if it's a case, you had this date, we were eating by the cones, yes, every year, this Shabbos, we always eat there. Aser La'achar Yud Beis Chodesh. It would be Aser until after 12 months. So the first idea you already see in the Shulchan Aruch is a concept of a festive meal, in that this is what friends do. They get together, Simchas Mireyos. It's a friendly gathering. So by an Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh for parents, that's usher. You can't go, can't have any of these friendly get-togethers during that period. Now we'll go through some questions, I'm sure, but I'll take one.
There's no mention here about Shabbos, Yom Tov, or if this is a weekday.
So this is why I usually push off the questions this early. So the leap year, the Machaber did touch on. The Ramah over here is about to give us quite a few heterim. So I'm going to go through them. And one of them were you just mentioned. The Ramah adds, Ubachaburas mitzvah. I'm going to go through each of these cases more in depth. But Ubachaburas mitzvah, a gathering for a mitzvah. You're involved, you're marrying off an orphan. Right? You're doing this l'shem shemayim. If you're not involved in it, the whole thing could fall apart. You're the one behind the organization. So mutter la'achar lamed, then it'll be mutter after 30 days. Avotolach lamed also l'chol sudas mitzvah shabolam. Within 30 days, it can be the big sudas mitzvah, but that you can't go to. Within 30 is much more chomer, but after 30, if it's something that you're involved with, you're involved in this mitzvah, you're marrying off this yisoma, so then one could attend. Avosudas mitzvah the less base simcha, a suda that doesn't have so much simcha. It's not a wedding. Motulikonespa. Then you could go to, and pigeon aben. The redeeming of a firstborn, Osudas bris mila. Motulachol sham, afil toch shiva. According to this first opinion, you can have your bagel with lox. Right? You could do that even toch shiva. Ovachol you to me pass a peso, providing that you don't go out of your house. However, v'yish olshem asudas bris mila. Some people would aser by a bris mila. One could not go to bris mila. V'aminuk shol lechol b'shum suda ba'olam kol yud b'chodesh imuchutz l'besa. The general minhag is that we don't participate in any of these things if they're outside of his house all 12 months. Even if it's a suda's mitzvah, it's a bris, pidgin aben, one does not go there within 12 months. V'toch ha'bayis, but if it's inside your house, mekilim sh'ochol b'besa b'suda's bris mila, you could have a bris inside one's house. Kol shekein b'shar suda she'im b'em simcha. Okay. Aval sudas nesuin yesh lahachmer. We'll see that soon. Aval shu bal bris omol. An aval who he himself is making the bris, or he himself is skilled as a mol. He's doing the bris mila. So halacha is yilbush bigdei Shabbos al achar mila. Motu lekanez the mila lachol sham mulach alamin. Aval pishin a mila beso. If you're the Baal Simcha, you're the Baal Bris, or alternatively, you're a Moel, you could go to a Bris, you could partake in the Simcha in such a scenario. So the Ramah here says a lot. I would like to break it down. I believe, basically over here, the Ramah, and we'll see a couple of them in Farshim, there are four potential heterim over here. Now, obviously, with all these things, you know, these shells in particular, someone heard I was giving a share. They're like, oh, I just asked my Rav a question about Avelos. Obviously, it's always important to ask a Shaila. But the point we're trying to do today is give over some of the basic principles so you know where the Shailas are. You'll understand better the answers you get. So, right, the default setting is if you're sitting, if you're in Avelos for one's parent, so then for 12 months, Your social calendar takes a backseat. For the most part, you're out. However, there are some heterim, we'll see, that one could partake and could be involved in things in these 12 months. What are the heterim? So let me start with something the Rama said. If a suda is in your home, a suda in one's home, that we see, is an easier thing. There's a heter if everything takes place in your house. And really, that heter, some say, would even work within Shiva. Right? You could be in the house of Shiva, and I tried checking up last night. I remember cases, and you know, sometimes these are spooky, right? Somebody's nifter, and mamish within, right away, there's a child born and they can name right after the grandparent, the parent who passed away. And I remembered a couple cases, so I checked with my wife, what about this case? It's like a few of them got knocked off by Yontif, or one was like right after Shiva. So I tried tracking down, do I know of any cases of where they had the bris within the Shiva home itself?
If they named after him, it can't be during Shiva. Because, I mean, unless there was a delay, Shiva's only 7 days, and the bris is at the 8th day. So it's just not...
Yeah, right. The technicalities, what he's bringing up, is, well, hey, If they're nifter right away and have a kid, yeah, so how do you name after 8 days, he's sitting Shiva only for 7 days, it's really not even 7 days, it's 6 and a half. So yeah, the baby's born right before, you know, or other scenarios, the baby was pushed off a face. But work out a case. But really this heter of having a simcha in one's home might even apply within Shiva. Now there are those with this and with many others, that Some are machmir for sure within Shiva not to have it, even in the home. But there is room for a heter. Being the fact you're not going out, that's part of the whole concept of Shiva. Right? Part of the mourning is I'm not up to going out. I'm staying right here in my house. Which is also such a beautiful derecher derecheinom. Think about that concept. Right? In the secular world, you know, I don't know how much time, depending on, you know, what your contract says, right? How much do people have in their job the ability to take off? One day? That's not exactly Shiva. A little short. The Torah has a beautiful concept of Shiva. For the entire week, for the most part, you can't be involved in work. You know, one of the few people I know that was involved in work during Shiva was Rabbi Yoshev. That's all. When he was sitting Shiva, the world's shilas were falling on his doorstep. And I believe he got involved in passing a few shilas there. It's a double issue. You know, besides the fact you have to be involved in mourning, but also, you know, Torah is viewed as mesam chilev. Really, one can engage in Torah, usually on velos. But if it's needed for Klal Yisrael, you know, the shilas that can't wait, I believe Rabbi Yoshev got involved. But for the most part, right, unless you're the world's biggest posek, you know, there'll be someone else to do the surgery, someone else to take the case to court, someone else to fix the pipes. You know, that's what we do. Yes?
Mayor Schuster, who's a famous he did a carving at the Western Wall, got a heter to get up early from Shiva.
Really?
That's
a fascinating story. Saying over there, Rabbi Schuster, who was very involved in Kirov, literally, what time is it? You ever watch? Are you Jewish? Like, eat somewhere? So he said his work was viewed as so important that there was a heter given even during Shiva for him to be involved in it. Amazing. Tzatzal Stafashos. Amazing, amazing things. But this concept, so if it's within your home, that's one heter within Avelos to be involved in a simcha in one's house. It's in your house. Right? This comes up with Shavu Brachos, with different things. Simchas in your home. It's a little different. That potentially is one heter. A second heter, which appears in the Piskei Tshuva, is the concept of Shabbos. On Shabbos, we know that there's ein avelos befarhesha. You can't prob, you can't act with avelos publicly on Shabbos, which is a confusing halacha. A lot of times you talk about people, they always switch their seats in shul. Don't forget, the one day you may not need to switch your seat is Shabbos, because you're not supposed to have any outward signs that you're in mourning. Now, of course, you're going to say Kaddish, that's okay. But to do actions of mourning, that we don't do. We don't have avelos befarhesha for the most part on Shabbos. So the Piskei Tshuva, if you look in the bottom of your sheets, he gives a case in Sifkat and Dalet. Quotes Shal Tshuva's Adoni Paz. Shakasa dimshachach v'mhayal suda zachar b'lol Shabbos. Right? You read Alan's emails. There's a Shalom Zachar, Mazel Tov, in the neighborhood. You show up there on Shabbos. Shari lo leilach l'machar b'Shabbos al sudas bris mila. Dim lo yeilach yim nilsa b'farhesya. Everyone knows you're around Shabbos. You just went to the Shalom Zachar. For you to not go to the bris the next day, that would be avelos b'farhesya. That would be a public display of avelos. I'm not coming to the bris. Everyone's coming to the bris. There's a big tent up. Everyone's there. But no, if the Maisa, being the fact Shabbos is no avelos b'farhesya, so that the Piskei Tshuva brings a tzad that one could go. So to with this, there are others that disagree. If you look in the back of your sheets, I have a little piece from Rav Moshe. This is Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe. The last few lines there, he writes, Lusuda Shalom Zachar, Sha'osim Belal Shabbos, a Shalom Zachar that they make on Friday night, Imukara the Yadid. Rav Moshe's qualification is either you're a relative or a close friend, not just somebody in the neighborhood who read the email. Then, Rashi Leilich, Sheyachshub Tifarhesya. Then, if you wouldn't go, that would be a public display of Avelos. So in that case, one shouldn't go. Huh? Depends what you usually do Friday nights. Right? Alan's not here. He's away. But what he does is such a phenomenal thing. Sending out, you know, all the things in the community. And this way, you know, sharing other people's simchas is a way to make the community smaller. What then, Rahman Tan, in these situations, you know, helping out when someone's in Avelos is also a means, a tremendous thing. So that's another potential heter, the heter of Shabbos. Yes?
Are you assuming that Moshe here is speaking specifically to a person Vila, or?
No, Moshe there is talking about Shalom Zachar.
Shalom Zachar, sorry.
Yeah.
Shalom Zachar?
Yeah.
Or would this apply, the Svara would apply to anything?
Oh. Yeah.
In other words, it seems he's saying that this Svara of the Farhesia, in other words, the problem, the heter of Shabbos is there's no avails with Farhesia. So it has to be Farhesia.
I'll add to Rabbi Flamos's point. He's saying, really, this is not just something which applies to Shalom Zachar. I could show you on top. Just look at the first few lines of that Ramosha. What types of events, su'udos, would an oval be allowed to go during the 12 months? Nira should be sudas bar mitzvah kushu karav o yedid. Once again, Ramosha is giving the same qualification. If you're a relative or a close friend, kizesh mukach leilak, that everyone knows you got to be there. Hey, where's Bar Kamsa? Like, come on, you got to be there. You're the guy who's invited. So yachol, then you are allowed to go. And he says further, really, if it's anything, v'mhubi beis medrash, in tzarach lotzeis to have prefer hesya, because that's Shabbos u'ma'adam. Really, there's any event, which you'll get to the practical cases later, a few more of these. But really, there's a kiddush in shul, so you don't have to dafka get up and leave. In contrast, and this happens in this neighborhood too, you could have a simcha, you could have a bris, let's say, in the shul, but then the kiddush is going to be somewhere else. It'll be in the home, it'll be in a different shul, so that's different. That, no one's keeping attendance, you know, people get lost always in those type of scenarios. But if the kiddush is right there in the shul, so again, leaving would be far hesher. So Rav Moshe has
the suda of the bris.
Yeah, or the kiddush, right, or the kiddush. Yeah. So Rav Moshe has multiple usages of this concept that on Shabbos, if one would act as an oval and would leave from these social gatherings, it will be a public display for Hesya of Avelos, and one shouldn't do that. And one would be allowed to stay for the Kiddush or the Suda.
The halacha for Bris Mila is you have to be for the Suda over the Bris even. I think that's
interesting.
What comes down to the
well, if you're invited to the Bris, you better show up. Though. We all know he's going to be upset. But yeah.
Right, but if you aren't there for the bris, but if you are once there for the bris, you're halakhically, I believe, have to stay for the suda.
Yeah, yeah. There are things.
Which would conflict with this a little, what we're saying right now.
Well, that might be by a normal case where someone's not in Avelos. But someone who's in Avelos.
Maybe there's an exception.
Right.
There's always an exception.
Now, a third area where there's room for a heter, which really we saw over here in the Ramah, is a sudas mitzvah. Now, within sudas mitzvah, we're going to make two chilukim, two types. The Ramah's case that he gave was where you're involved intimately with the mitzvah. You're helping get this yasum or your soma married. So, hey, if you're not involved, you're not there, this whole thing might fall apart. So that's it's a sudas mitzvah, but you're involved in that mitzvah. So that, 100%, there's a heter for you to be there. And we'll see. Rav Moshe, based on this, there are many cases of social events that would fall into this category. It's interesting, right here, in the Hesber for why this is true, I found Shal Tshuvas Evan Yaakov. This is a fascinating, important halachic understanding. Why is it that we observe 12 months for a parent, but for a spouse, a sibling, it's only 30 days? What's the difference?
What?
Shouldn't the Torah just have a set time period? You do 30 days for Avelos. What's with the 12 months for parents? So the Havana is the first 30 days are really the same. You're right. The first 30 days for 7 days, it makes no difference, parent, sibling, spouse, they're all the same. What you're doing for a parent from day 31 and on is under the guise of Hilchas Kibud of the Aim. There's a special inyan to honor one's parents, and that's why the mourning is going longer by a parent. So the first 30 days, that's an equal mourning that you have by all these relatives, all these krovim. But from past 30 days, that falls under the guise of kibud av ha'im. It's an added element of honoring parents. Thus the following. If the reason why you're sort of delicately stepping around these dinim of avelos is tied to the fact you're involved in the mitzvah, if not for you, this wedding of this Yasumi someone won't take place. So put for carrot, you're doing a mitzvah. That's a schus. Your parents would want you to do that. Thus, you're allowed to do that even during the year of Avelos. Very, very interesting understanding of what the Avelos is when it comes to parents. Beyond 30 days, it's an inyan of kibud av ha'im. So if this would be a scenario where, look, you're doing a tremendous mitzvah. So a parent would want you to do that mitzvah too. Put for carrot, you could do it l'il nishmasam, you could do it as a schus for them. So 100%, then when one would be allowed to delicately get around these dinim of avelos during that time. Yes?
Wouldn't kibud av ha'im be the eraisa and these other things be the
rabbanan? Interesting. Right? You bring up, you know, kibud av ha'im is a big deal. Who said, right, might be the Raisa, these things, it depends, you know? The Torah talks about doing chesed for yesomim. That's also the Raisa. But you're right, the kibud av ha'im is something that we're quite cautious, you know, we don't usually push off. But in a scenario like this, it's not even pushing off. We would think that this is the parents' desire. You're fulfilling your parents' wants, and therefore it's not a slap in the face. It's not in any way degradation, dishonoring of them. Beautiful idea. We'll see this concept comes up again. But in contrast, the bris milah and, let's say, a pidgin haben, these are pseudos which, look, Baruch Hashem, it's a mitzvah. But you're not intimately involved like you're marrying off a Yesoma. Look, Baruch Hashem, there's a simcha. I want to participate. The Sudas Mitzvah of a Bris, Pidgin Aben. So there, that's what we saw the Ramah said. There are people that matter. But he ends off, the minhag really is to aser in those situations. Me'ikar adin, it would be mutter. However, the Ramah does bring that our minhag is to go beyond that, is to be machmer. Right? Obviously, that might mean in certain scenarios, if the Ikar Adin is room to be Mekel, so, okay, there's a Svar, the minute is to be Machmer, but sometimes it could be there's room for a Heter, even when you're not the Baal Bris or the Maul. And finally, the fourth Heter that I found within this area is really the last lines that we just saw in the Ramah, that if you're the Baal Bris and it's viewed, the father of the child is innately involved in the bris, even if he hires a mole. It's your responsibility. He's your shliach. You have to take care of it. If you're a mo'el. So in those scenarios, one's allowed to partake and be involved in the Siddur's mitzvah, even though you're an avelus, because for a mitzvah, we matter. Yes?
Are you allowed to not partake in these things?
Yeah. One is, it's a very good question. You know, here we're going through a different heterim. Right? Now, let's say a person says, I'm not up to it. I can't handle it. I just got up from Shiva. Just got up from Shloshim. Right? So, yeah. One would be allowed to say, hey, I'm not up to that. But again, these things are a delicate balance. Right? On the one hand, you want to keep hilchos avelos. On the other hand, it is very important to move on in life. And just to say, well, I'm going to be machmer in the whole 12 months, I'm not doing anything. Look, if this is a scenario which there really is a heter, so if you never take any of these heterim, just be machmer on everything, doesn't sound like it's really so healthy. Yes?
What if he just doesn't want to stay for the kiddush or something? Like, he has no real chance for people to get kiddush, but he wasn't invited. Is he not happy to stay in the room?
Yeah. Look, you know, I one of the trickiest things in life to figure out is your social obligations. So I have to go to this guy's thing, I went to that guy, this, that. Yeah, it's very tricky. And,
you know, a yogi said.
Oh, we have to hear a yogi saying, yes.
He said, you have to go to this guy's funeral, else he won't come to yours.
They tell me I have to repeat over all the good lines so the people at home can hear. So I better make sure I say the yogiism well. Yogi said, you better go to this guy's funeral because otherwise he's a threat on you. He's not going to come to yours.
Yogi who?
Yogi.
Yeah, really. The baseball guy?
Now, hold on. I wonder who went to his funeral. But it ain't over till it's over. The next area. I don't even like the Yankees. The next area. The next sif deals with weddings. I want to just touch upon Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch adds a lot over here. But let's read. This is mamash the next sif in the Shulchan Aruch. Lekanes lechupa shlo b'shas achila l'shema ha-brachos. Look at where the Shulchan Aruch begins. We're not talking about going to the actual suda of a wedding, partaking in the five-course elaborate meal. No, we're not talking about that. The starting point is, could I go into the chuppah to hear the brachos, to be part of the chuppah? For sure the suda, no. Can I be part of the chuppah? So, yesh matirim, v'yesh osrim. Sounds like classic Jewish halacha. There's some that matter, some permit, some aser. Elo omein chutz l'bayis l'shmoa brachos. So the Mechaber writes, you know what's best? Stand outside so you can hear the brachos. Huh. Right? Interesting. Nowadays, you know, first of all, I'm not sure every hall is equipped where you could stand outside and hear the brachos. Maybe if you're standing on, you know, the read al pi halacha, we should go through some halachas kedushin this year. But really, al pi halacha, you're supposed to have the chuppah under the sky. So I guess the guy could stay by the skylight and hear the brachas. That's one way you could, you know, like Hillel on a snowy day, right? You could stand over there, but the way most halls are situated in basements, I'm not sure it's so easy, at least in New York, not so easy to just stand outside and hear it. Maybe you can watch a live stream. Yeah, that works. The Ramah adds, Avalo yikaneis lebayis klal b'shasha omdim sham chasen and kala v'cheinogim ba'ashkenaz. This is what we used to do in Germany with Ninos Elu, that they wouldn't go in at all. L'choze b'bayis sha'ozim l'chasna sha'ochim v'shosim s'meichim sham. Aval b'chopa sha'ozim b'bayis ha'knesses. Till now, we're talking about a case where the Suda and the Chuppah are in the same room, the same place. Right? It's just in the shul. That's where they're having the ceremony. But there's no real simcha there. I'm not sure what to find simcha. The band usually comes in for that too. An elaborate, they have simcha liners singing under the chuppah. So, not sure if that means in simcha kla or not. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes, mutter miyad achashiva. If it's a separate, now I don't know if this means it has to be a separate building altogether, but really, in a lot of the chasana halls, the better of them, they have two separate rooms, right? They have a chuppah room, and they have a separate dining room. So to go into the chuppah room, that the Ramah is writing that there are people who matter, again, the Yesh Osrim, Chay Nir Ali, and others say, yeah, even Kol Yabez Chodesh, you stay outside that room. Okay. So there are differences of opinion, what one could do. Could one attend the chuppah right there, on the side? Classic, we'll see. Ask your local rabbi. Not so simple.
The key issue there is, what, the music? There's always music connected with that.
Right. In the Suda itself, that for sure, that is the ultimate festive meal, Suda, and one can't partake in it.
You might not but consider even, the even, music
right,
so festive
even the chuppah itself is connected with it, is tied with it, and that itself, it's a very slippery path. You go to this part, but you won't be taking the second part. And you're right, the music point is also true. You know, the moment the chassan stomps on the glass, the music starts playing, he's there. So yeah, it's very connected, our chuppah with the Suda. And therefore there's room, that people would aser. Hold on. I see Kananahara, this is generating a lot of good questions, but hold on. The Shulchan Aruch here doesn't give any heterim, for the most part. But the poskim here by weddings, one of the biggest areas, is what happens, chas v'shalom, a parent is sitting shiva when his child is getting, is in avelos, when a child is getting married, or a grandparent's in avelos, when the grandchild is getting married. So there, the first source of that term, the ones that deal with this, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about it, and he gives a heter. He said, wherever there's a tzad to be makel by Islam, as a general rule, halacha can makel by avelos. Avelos is a very challenging time, a very emotional period. And if there's room to be makel, we look for heterim, like it was sort of asked before. Heterim are a good thing in these scenarios. Rav Moshe comes up with a very interesting idea in these. What's the basis of this heter to go to a child's wedding, grandchild's wedding, when one's in avelos? And when they go to the wedding, fully partake. Here we're talking about going to the chuppah, even potentially having the suda there. Okay, there are some that have the suda outside, but for the most part. So Rav Moshe says, because if you would not be there, that would be tsar to the Baal Simcha, to the chassan. Whether it's a child or a grandchild, be tsar to the parents making the wedding. And Rav Moshe says for that reason, a parent or a grandparent would be allowed to partake in a grandchild or child's wedding, even when they're in the avelos. Very important to you, so.
Whole thing, suda and everything.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
and dancing?
Huh?
And dancing?
Yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah. And we'll see. one of the things of avelos, I don't have a chance to get to it, but it talks about Simchas Torah. If someone's in avelos, could they participate in Simchas Torah and dancing? So there, I saw some modern day poskim start, be machalik. Without them to dance, what does it mean dance? Does it mean walk around, in a small circle in the outlers, like everyone else? Yeah. Or does it mean, really dancing? So there's different things, Sometimes by the grandparents already, it's not really, it's really just walking around in the circle anyway. What the fence? I would like to jump to some practical shilas. I have quite a few. And these are the basic klalim, right? We see the halachas of a suda and multiply a term for in one's home, Shabbos, sudas mitzvah, if you're involved with the mitzvah, by a wedding, we talked about the heter for children and grandchildren, okay. Practical shilas. So I saw Moshe was asked multiple questions about Shabbos and many things that go on. For basic Shul Kiddush, Rav Moshe's Mater, you saw before, especially if it's in the Shul, it's not the biggest deal, not really. Now, some Kiddushim could be a Suda. Well, a regular Kiddush, Rav Moshe says it's okay. He gives another scenario. He says, you know, America, we're good hosts. You have someone over Friday night. I wouldn't call a full-blown, nowadays you could have a full-blown oneg. Someone's just telling me they were at an oneg last year in Hollywood and they imported meat from Manhattan from La Marais.
Oh, sure.
Wow. I'm not sure what that is. That sounds like a wedding. But, you know, a small little thing Friday night, the people on the block get together to schmooze. And the wife puts out, you know, a few things here on the table. Rav Moshe says, that's okay. That's not a suda. That's called manners in America. You put something out, a little drink, some nuts, whatever. That's fine. What about to go on Shabbos to a bris, a bar mitzvah, a shavah brachos, to go to these sudas when you're avelus? That Rav Moshe says, you have no heter. Right? What do you mean? Shabbos. But Moshe says clearly that the heter for Shabbos are for certain actions you're doing. If you don't go there, if you're not, it will look before Hesya. But it doesn't give you the right to have a Sudas Mireis, to have a whole friendly gathering. So it's one thing to have a Kiddush, that's not a Suda. It's one thing to have some food out Friday night by an oneg. Again, that's not a suda. But to go to a bris, to go to a bar mitzvah, to go to a shavah brachos, when one is in avelus, that's a suda. But Moshe says there's no heter on Shabbos either for that.
Even though it's clearly avelus with bar hesher.
Yeah, yeah. But Moshe, right, Moshe's vart.
Let's say it's a family event that's not tzar. So the whole family's going there.
Okay.
It's a whole shavah brachos or something on Shabbos, and you're the one aunt or uncle or brother or whatever it is not going to show up. It's going to be very clear. Everyone's going to say, where is he?
Yeah. So Ramosha's basic concept is the Farhesya Heter does not give you a right to go to Suda Mireis. And even if, yeah, exactly the point. People are going to say, you're the only one out there, but it's not so pashut. Let me contrast also. What about Ofrof? And nowadays, Ofer is also big things, right? They have a whole suda. I'm not just talking about having the nosh in the bags. We're talking about going to a suda of an Ofrof. So there, Moshe allows. Because there he says, it's not really a suda of simcha. There's no chiv to have an Ofrof suda. And the heter, the case where he gave the heter, was the father of the chassan, was an avelos. There he would allow. But again, not so partial in every scenario. Yes?
It also sounds to me like the distinction or emotion is making that something that you're already there, you're already in the school.
Right.
And you walk out, then you're addressed to the land.
True. But to go, meeting, right.
But to doctor, to go to it when you're not there
right.
Already anyways, is only
the right. What you're bringing up is really part of the heter we did talk about before. Is like as far as you already were there, so but still we would say if it was a bris or other things, the Moshe is saying it's not so bullshit. Now hold on, the next Bez Hashem, what's the date? Let's look at my calendar.
26.
No, I know today's date. Sunday, January 12th. There's no excuse. Yeshiva's having a dinner.
Oh yeah.
Avelos is not an excuse. Right? The yeshiva did not pay me to say that. But a yeshiva dinner, 100%, one would be allowed to partake in the dinner, even if he's an avelus. Why is this? Rav Moshe said.
It's only going to be so much fun anyway.
Right, first of all, right, people are saying their long speech is not enjoyable anyway. Okay, true. Right? Oh, you're right. But Rav Moshe has two reasons why one should go to yeshiva dinner.
Sure.
Firstly, it's kavod haTorah for every person to attend. Being at a dinner itself, forget about the check. Just showing your support for a Torah institution is a big deal. You know, I think Shmuel Kamenetsky holds that as long as you're within driving distance, and he felt Philadelphia to New York was considered driving distance, that one should attend every single year his yeshiva's dinner. It's been 30 years since you're out of yeshiva. Shmuel Kamenetsky says, you don't have a karas hatov now? So yeshiva dinner is a big deal. For everyone being there, it's kavod haTorah. So number one, Rav Moshe says, one could go because of that. And secondly, a practical thing. Yeah, the check's in the mail. When you go to the dinner, then you really feel, okay, I went to the dinner. It was a good shmorg. I ate something there. Then you feel the impetus. You really have to give that check. Once you don't go to the dinner, you know, it's one less hechrich to make sure to send in the check.
It's easier not to if you're not at the dinner.
Right. So thus, Rav Moshe says that one could partake of a yeshiva dinner in Avelos. The halachos of a Rebbe, someone who's a teacher of Torah, it's beautiful, I found inside here. This sefer has quite a few of the shilos that Rav Shmuel Neiman Zetzal, Shiva Rav here, Rav Yisrael Yitzchak Neiman's father, asked to Rav Moshe. So one of the questions he asked was, look, I think it was on the Al Shabbos, he would have Talmidim over, Shal Shudas time, part of the yeshiva, have them over, eat over. Is that allowed during Avelos? Not Dafka Shal Shudas, but that was a shayla. So Rav Moshe said, yeah, that's part of your job. Part of a Rebbe's job is having Talmidim over. Talmud wakes up Friday afternoon, oh, I don't have a place for Shabbos. Part of the achrayas, being a Rebbe. And even during one of the illas, one would be allowed to do that. I saw another very interesting shayla. There was a bar mitzvah. So remember we said, bar mitzvah, it's no heter to go to the Suda. But the question was posed, this Rebbe was intimately involved with the family. And he was a positive hashpa. And we're dealing with a situation where, you know, you never know. It could be your positive hashpa can make for the difference if they keep their family in yeshiva, they leave or not. So, Rav Moshe in general said, hey, so who says you have to eat? Okay, so go there and wish mazel tov. Okay, but if you're really doing a l'shem shamayim, you want to eat, you want to be involved in having a positive influence in the family, he says you could go to the bar mitzvah too, right? That sounds similar, you know, when it comes to being makar of people, it comes to spreading Torah, the story you said before about Rav Meir Shuster, that's looked upon as a very important inyan. And Moshe said, yeah, a Rebbe could go in such a scenario. Another case, family weddings. So we said there's a heter for a parent, a grandparent to go to a wedding. What about not a grandparent?
Aunt or uncle.
Aunt or uncle. Or a close relative. Families are very close. What could one do during Avelos? In fact, I remember my mother had one of her cousins wasn't married yet. And she was an Avelos for my grandfather, one who's your side is today. I remember her saying that, you know what, if she gets engaged this year, I'm sure my father would want me to go to the wedding. I remember my mother saying that. And Rav Moshe, it was amazing to find. It's exactly what Rav Moshe said. Rav Moshe said, for a close family relative, as an aunt, uncle, niece, close cousin, Rav Moshe gives a heter to go to the wedding.
The whole wedding, the whole thing?
In general, yeah. He's talking about in general to go. Now, again, you know, it might be better to have the suda maybe outside. You know, a lot of times these wedding halls, they make a lot of accommodations for people in Avelos. But Rav Moshe gave a heter there. And the reasoning behind was similar to what we talked about earlier. These 12 months past the point of Shloshim is an inyan of kibud av'eim, honoring one's parents. Parents usually want the family to stick together, to go to family events. And that itself, going there, is not trampling, is not dishonoring one's parents. It's just the opposite. It's honoring one's parents. Parents want the family to be together, to respect the family, and therefore one would be allowed to go to weddings in this scenario. That was the heter that Rav Moshe gave. After 30 days. One last area, and with this, I'll give a little bit of a plug for next week's share. What about a siyum?
Absolutely.
Right? Be'ez Hashem, next week, I want to talk about, it'll be a month away. Next Sunday is December 1st, so it's 1 month away from January 1st, which they're planning, hopefully not snow, but a big get-together in New York, New Jersey area. There'll be other ones around, too. So I hope to talk about the concept in general about a siyum. So, hey, someone's in Avelos. Could they go to a siyum? So this is a topic that's debated right there in the Shulchan Aruch. Pesach Yeshuva talks about it. Rabbi Kiva Eger talks about it. There's Maharam Mintz that Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down that permits it. There are others that aser. So like many things, not so pashat. I saw another interesting shaila. This also was asked by Rav Neiman. What happens, someone's a Bukhar, and he's saying Shiva as Erev Pesach. If you're a Bukhar, you have a chiv to fast. So you need to fast. But the only way you can go to see him, right, I guess we're talking, if it'll be in your house, it's Pashat. But to go out somewhere to go to see him. Was one allowed to do that? So Moshe says, Manavshach, you can't. He said, if we view a siyum as a full simcha suda, so then you can't do that during Avelos. Elamai, no, it's one of these yeshivish siyums. They put out a little orange juice, some cookies. Who's putting out a big spread in Erev Pesach? You're not viewing much of the simcha? Right? So then, stum. If you don't really view it much of the simcha, then it doesn't pop you from fasting. Siyum b'chor. It has to be a real, you know, simcha. The potter. So Moshe didn't go for that. But in general, what I believe, to turn back to where we started, you know, I really think it is a beautiful contrast. The Recher Derech Noam. We're sitting here for an hour going through all these nuances, all these cases. I assume I'll be sitting here for a few more minutes. Going through everyone's questions, how to observe mourning. And it's a beautiful thing. Recher Derech Noam, Mr. Jackie Kennedy could think that the right thing is not to cry when a husband passed away, not to do anything different. But the Torah has a different perspective. You're supposed to cry, you're supposed to mourn, you're supposed to be involved in mourning, not just for one day, which your business allots you, for 7 days, for 30 days, for parent for 12 months, and balancing the heterim and the yisurim, what to do, that itself, as we said before, is a way of honoring one's parents. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.